I can't even remember how we did last league, you know.
I can't even remember who we played. We beat Cov, lost to Storm, and lost to Meteors?
No, we didn't play. No, was that first 1-2 and lost 1, didn't we?
Drew with Derby. Felt like a loss and sort of did.
Yeah, that was really good, that game. She said, oh, that was when I was trying first to half. Film it. With. Oh,
first half was really
camera,
good.
Didn't I?
Mm. First half was excellent. Second half less excellent.
Men's 3 League North, who have played...
I don't think we've...
They have.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know how many...
Yeah. Carry how on, many, chaps.
How many meets they've done
two,
now?
Three.
I saw play six and I was like, they either play three or two. I've got to take a guess.
Yeah, they do it the old fashioned way and only playing two fixtures a league meet.
That sounds nice.
Unless you're all threes of late, where they played three most recently because they only played one before.
Hope you're feeling better, Jack.
I don't think he listens.
Yeah.
I can't think why.
Bless him. Yeah, bad injuries. Mm.
Yes, Phantoms 3 and Mustangs 2 making a little bit of headway at the top. Sheriffs and Barnowls not far behind, and Minor Bees again only a point behind them, so fairly congested at the top of this league after six fixtures so far.
Do you know who inflicted Phantoms' sole loss?
Can find out. It wasn't us, I don't think.
Mustangs 2.
No, it was Mustang.
Yeah, Mustang's still on the first league fixture.
Sports.
I don't know who beat Mustangs 2. That is the next question.
They drew
with Barnowls and lost to Barnowls on the same day. So yes, actually with not the best set of fixtures for Mustangs 2. A draw and a one set defeat against Barnowls makes things very interesting at the top.
What kind of court do they play? Is it waterfall?
18x9.
It's a dodgeball court.
Three ball courts.
Bring back three balls.
God, you remember being dead zone?
Mm.
No.
Just blanked it all out.
It's not to a back wall, so it's in essence three courts laid out like side by side in the middle of a landscape hall kind of thing. So you've got a fair amount of runoff one end. It's sort of like back wall to back net in the same way that St. George's Park is.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
So it's quite good to get that kind of consistency across across venues. Rather than teams playing back walls low down the league and then go up St. George's Park, and some would say it's a different kettle of fish, but not here.
Only a wise person would say such a thing. Bring back New College.
It hasn't gone anywhere. I think, as far as I'm aware, it's still there.
Hasn't no one's been in a few years?
I want League at New College and I want Opens at Enderby.
Yes, please.
The way God
intended.
We've
not been to Enderby for years, have we? The place of many co-ops. The only time in my life I've called someone, we went to find food after some uni open. And called up like Alex or someone, be like, "Oh, where are you?" So, "Oh, we're in the co-op." Yeah, but we're in the co-op. You're not in this co-op. Like, they're tiny. And it turns out there's three co-ops in Enderby.
Yeah, right. The more you know.
Fact of the day,
more you know.
It was canals one week. It's co-ops this week.
You're just working alphabetically through like. Well, you've got another 23 years of podcasting left before you get to Z.
So, how old are the Mavericks this year? But it has historically been a mixture of sort of
I think they're young again.
Young.
Because the original Mavericks, who were the young one, have now all gone to uni and things like that. They're now that
other
age.
Teams.
Some of them, obviously not all of them, but they've lost some of those lads. Other ones, I think, have stopped playing or just moved around, etc. So I believe they're on their regen phase, for any FM players out there. So I believe they're young again. So this might be explaining why they're as low down as they are, because if they were at their full strength...
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I think... Was Benji Millard? Was he?
I think he was Hartlepool.
Was he Hartlepool?
Yeah, when he was a wee thing.
And he still is.
Yeah.
He absolutely still is.
Tricky as
they making
play.
The jump from Men's League 3 to Super League.
Yeah. Yes, and then Mustangs 3, of course, is generally younger players as well, because they've got their really good academy set up. So they're working players through from the junior leagues into the adult leagues. And also Mustangs 2 is in this league, same thing. Not young from our perspective. I suppose not as young. The Nottingham Sheriff's team isn't as young as
that. Yes, yeah, yeah.
Right, okay, yeah. No, they are older.
They are older.
They have a Warble.
Single-handedly bringing the average age up.
Is it, well, not quite as much as Spike as he's been, if he's been joining
no, the indeed.
Bar now. Yeah, or Aidan Wedgwood.
Yeah, they've taken the whole age of the league.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Dragging the average up using the average.
I think for our team, it's maybe not it's not age in, like, physical age, probably in dodgeball years. Yeah. There's not a lot of, I'd say, top-level experience in the threes team. Because there's a couple of the uni lads as well. Obviously, there's some who have played for a few years at unis and now for us for one or two seasons. But, yeah, there's no one who's, you know, you've not got a former 2-3 year Super League player. Yeah, and you know, for Mustangs, especially the two, you know what you're going to get now. Mustangs are entering into that well-run machine club kind of phase. You know, even if they've not got the skill level of some of the people in the ones, they'll have probably better tactical sense than other people in this league, which at that level can probably carry you through better than I throw hard. So it's I'm not surprised to see the twos up there.
Yeah.
Well, I think especially as it's only the two Mustangs teams and Barnells and Mavericks actually who had league experience from last season, everyone else being new. And I guess as we kind of touched on, Mavericks is a bit of a new look team as it stands anyway. So yeah, probably experience playing into Mustang's favour at this point.
But from our boys' point of view, first year a lot of them have all played together, some of them first year playing in National League and competitively. So to be sat in third with, you know, more wins than anything else at this point is good, given the nature that we have had those bad injuries as well, which can definitely shake you if you see them.
Mm.
So yeah, fair play, lads. Keep going.
So I'm just looking at what minor bees are.
You got safe search on.
Like fucking ground moles all over again. Apparently they live in your lawn. Well, not your lawn. I mean,
your lawn specifically.
It's my lawn when it's full of moles.
Our lawn when it's all going well.
Okay.
Yeah, but they may, because to be fair, have you seen those little, like, you know, those little gravelly holes you get? That might be minor bees.
Oh. This is a great audio medium.
That would make sense, the mining name then, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's consistency. I'm saying I'm not mad about any of it thus far.
Let us know when you are.
Yeah. Sam's mad about bees in general, as in the winged insects, rather than necessarily the club from Manchester. But, you know,
I'm not overly enamored by the club from Manchester either.
Oh, yes, another league.
Would you like to introduce this one as well?
Men's Three League South have also played. How have they played 7 matches?
Because there's 8 teams.
They have an extra team.
So both teams are halfway through their league.
Don't try and do the math. Just say yes and move on to the next.
14, because you take one off and double it to work out how many matches.
Double it and give it to someone else.
Yes, excellent. Incorrect. That makes sense.
Yes, so every now and then teams will be playing.
Yes, PB getting involved in national leagues. That's what we love to see.
Get involved to some degree. Six wins out of 7. For PB. Yes. Not for a good
PB
start.
Ones, but PB twos. So A, big props on sending
two teams straight out the gate.
First year in National League.
I believe so, yes.
They've James Bonded.
They've done
their
various
first 7
regionals
games.
And stuff.
Regionals and a couple opens.
They've James Bonded it. 007. No wins, no draws, 7 losses. It's not like
Christ. Far be it from me to call a comment a reach, Dave.
What, 2-0-7, 007.
Licensed to kill.
Apparently not.
Apparently not, yeah. They've
missed, is what I'd get from that.
Although doing better on set difference. Doing better on set difference than Canterbury Crocs, who are just one above them with the 1. So we're there with the old 106 rather than 007.
The Peugeot.
The Peugeot.
Could they have potentially had a no-show Canterbury? Well, I suppose that would have.
I guess we shall find out.
Is there on?
Is it like for one fixture and lost?
Yeah,
and give forfeited.
They've got 3 courts. I hate all.
Yeah, potentially forfeited even just one game.
No, I think they're just...
Because the first result I saw, they just lost by one 16, set, and I was just like, bloody hell.
Oh, Chivenham Chargers beating them by 12 points won't have helped.
Yeah, I think they're...
22.
12 sets. Edit that back in. Seamless. I don't even have the excuse this late in the week. It's literally Monday.
It's late in the day, I'll give
you
that.
Hope you had a lovely day yesterday, Dave, as I delivered your level 2 course to get you out of the hole.
Thank you. I mean, Berkshire being at the top also doesn't surprise me. Obviously, the old offshoot of Thunder Dodge, the parent club. You can always normally tell when they're at this level, given how busy their training photos are, they like to post, is normally a good sign. And the fact they've got two teams in the league is normally that it's pretty competitive. So is this where people were like David Bradbury are now playing?
Yes.
As well. So you've got players who were playing in Men's League One last year.
Mm.
So they'll probably have about half the Thunder Dodge team, I'd imagine, at least. So I'd expect them to be near the top. Them and Chippenham, I would have definitely said, would be up there. Honestly, don't know enough about PB. So they seem to be Catherine's team, so I'll leave that to Catherine.
I think technically they would be my closest club if I moved home to where my parents are from, because they're Bromley based, which is a suburb south East London. So that's the only reason I'm so interested, because they train, like when my brother, when he came home from university, like toyed with the idea of playing dodgeball, and then went to play an even more made up sport, which is Aussie rules football.
Disagree.
I know. Well, that's actually it's not as made up. It's as
Aussie
mad.
Rules is on Sky Sports.
Yeah,
they're doing all right.
It's as mad.
It is crazy. It's great watch though. It is a really good watch. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah. I just assume they play with the ball upside down.
They might as well.
Like it is honestly because they invented it to keep.
Aussie rules is also brutal, by the way.
No, he's
about Australia is brutal.
It's true. He's not even any spiders. It's like kabaddi, it's rough.
Well, and because in Touch, they like rolling sub. So he was saying that basically you've got two types of people. There's the actually fit people that'll maybe try and play 10 minutes and do some tactical shit. Whereas he's like, there's people like me, because he's a little shorter than you, my brother. But he's wider, he's wider.
Sam agrees.
Wider
shorter
than me.
Shorter and wider than me, folks.
Yeah. he's a...
If you're in that demographic of people...
I'm just imagining they do the roar.
Shorter and wider than you. Hi.
Also. Yeah. But I think if you looked in it, you'd probably say rugby player. If I had to guess a sport.
Me or
well, you're the only one that knows what he looks like.
If you guess what sport her brother might play.
I see. Yes.
Yeah. So Nick was like, so I go on for about 48 seconds to try and fuck shit up and then come back away.
Sounds like my dodgeball career.
Yeah.
That'll be me for mosh at the weekend.
Yeah.
Come on, fuck shit up, leave.
Sam, Lauren Seatree plays at the same Aussie Rules football club as him.
Does he actually?
Yeah.
I bet he takes it dead seriously, doesn't he?
I think he's been away a lot. I keep being like, oh, how's Lawrence? And he's like, I haven't seen him. Sam Lav went for a taster, and I was like, and so the next time we went down, he's like, oh, do you know someone called Sam Laverty? We're like, yeah, what? And he was like, oh yeah, well, he came to Aussie Rules and he said he played dodgeball. I was like, how on earth did that come up? He's like, well, none of you have dodgeball and never fucking shut up about it, do you? And I was like, very valid.
Case in point, here we are.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right up there with you mentioning me, asking if I know Rochelle, if that's, that's in the same lines.
It's a small world. Is that
Shrek.
Is that what you're thinking?
It's a small world after all. I believe
no, that's the Disney.
Are you going
ride.
For the? Are you going for the Duloc?
Sorry, yes, I think Shrek.
It's a similar tune.
Yeah, I think I got the tune. And welcome to Duloc. It's a perfect town. Yeah.
Keep that in.
We've been looking for an intro jingle. I think we finally stumbled across one.
Duloc is. Anyway, yeah, but it should have been. It's a small world after all, which is the Disney ride. Anyway, moving on. Berkshire also in the southeast. Next, Chippenham.
Are they in the southeast? Or are we just going on
in the south?
Is Chippenham the Essex one or the other one?
It's the other one, isn't it?
Chippenham's southwest.
Cheltenham. I get it mixed up with Cheltenham.
Cheltenham's also southwest. Are you thinking of Chelmsford?
Yes.
I'm about to say yeah. As someone who goes to that kind of East Essex area to visit the in-laws, I can tell you.
Cheltenham is not there.
Cheltenham's
racist.
Yeah, I lost loads of money last week at Cheltenham being racist. Like, I really did. I thought they'd gone past it. I really did. Here they are again.
So the point I'll make now, even sadder, is two teams from the southwest with Rhondda and Chippenham. I so nearly called them Cheltenham. But yeah, good to see them getting out and about.
No, come on, Canterbury, we're going through the list here.
Oh, I do know where that is.
Do you?
No.
Are you sure?
Is it no, it's not Midlands.
The Midlands.
Is it the Midlands?
No.
Oh. Where's Canterbury?
It's like Dover kind of area.
Yeah,
it's Kent,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is Kent, you're right. I was going to be like, if you showed me them on a map, I'd know where they were.
If we name their closest canal.
Their closest co-op. Yeah. How many co-ops are there?
What's their co-op density level?
Triangulate by canal distance to co-op.
Have you seen that game on TikTok you can do where it gives you a map of the UK? And then it basically will give you three places random generate, and you get, when it comes up the place, say Canterbury, you have 5 seconds to put a pin on the map of the UK where you think it is, and after 5 it shows you where it is and it gets you a score for how far away you are. I now really want to watch Catherine play this game. Yeah.
But it's like GeoGuessr as well. Yes. That kind of stuff. Like,
we got
GeoGuessr.
So fucking lucky we played it in the office, right? We were 200 metres. My first,
Jesus.
Yeah, my first ever go on GeoGuessr. So we got so cocky as a group. Did the second one, 4,500 miles.
Nice. It's a real humbling game, yeah. Isn't it?
Ryan and I were playing it the other day, but we were playing the World of Warcraft GeoGuessr.
I'd argue that
it
was easier.
It was classic as well. So it's,
I'd get that again.
Civilization GeoGuessr.
Anywho.
I think that's enough about Men's League 3 South.
What does the PB stand for, PB Dodgeball?
Pratt's Bottom, now you ask.
Sorry?
Yeah, Pratt's Bottom.
You heard that right.
You heard it here, folks.
The bottom of Pratt.
Gonna look it up on a map.
Oh, it's the bottom that belongs to Pratt.
It belongs to Pratt.
I assume it's near Bromley. I know where Bromley is.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I get that.
Go to Pratt, then go a little south.
46 to Bromley from Nottingham.
To be fair. Oh, Orpington.
That's
sorry.
Not quite Pratt's Bottom, I don't think.
No, Pratt's Bottom is in Orpington.
Ooh.
Posh Orpington.
Is it?
I think
it's
so.
The south is posh.
Yeah, everything's posh. Once you hit a certain
everything's posh below the Watford.
It's
gap.
Near the home of Charles it's near the home of Charles Darwin. What more do you need to know?
I don't think he still lives there.
No.
House prices have really taken a toll on him.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say he's not in. Where what is?
Don't worry.
Are you just naming random southern villages now?
Oh, it's near Biggin Hill.
Near what? Did you say Biggin Hill? You were really on a roll with that today.
Biggin Hill.
Well.
Do you reckon they just looked at him and that's a biggin?
Yeah.
He's done. Jordan's tapped out. That was a contribution to the entire series of the podcast.
Going out like Michael Jordan.
Yeah, so in
slurry of gambling rumours.
no rumours. He was quite open with it. He was very open with it. Right, anyway. Men's League 2 North. 2024.
Men's 2 League North.
Men's 2 League North.
Men's North 2 League? Oh, we need this naming convention to generalise the regions now.
We do. Once again, Derby sitting top.
Yeah.
And this is where Raptors have ended up, she said. She's quite unfairly.
The southwest.
I'll go on a limb and say, which one did you think they were going to be in? Where was your hunch?
I, to be brutally honest, like so much of this year, I feel like I just haven't processed it at all. I assume we talked about them last time. I don't know, actually, I wasn't on the last podcast, which led to
I don't think I'm pretty sure we skipped this.
It led to a massive increase in quality, I'm sure, for the listener. Bovines. But yeah, so
best kit.
Actually, I know where all these places are, apart from the Virtue Empire, which is of course like Narnia.
That's
I would not watch a Narnia film set in Hewdley.
Find Birmingham on the map, draw a big circle around it, and there will be a Virtue Empire club in the circle.
Because we've all been. I've been to the home of.
Yes, so have I.
Yeah, Bewdley.
Yeah,
the home of Bewdley.
I went once. Years ago, it was
it was a three, like a team of three tournament they did one year. So
and they all often did an Easter tournament.
It might have even been that one potentially. That my team of three, I believe, was me, Sophia, and James Shaw. We took three different sheriff's threes down on the day, and we made the final.
Nice.
And we lost the final in the last set to a very controversial reffing call, which James did not take well. And
no.
When he voiced he voiced his displeasure, one of their teams, it was, we lost to three of the Hinkley people. Hinkley Revolution. This is how long ago this was.
That's a horrible kit.
Yeah, and we lost to them in the last set. It was a very controversial catch that was definitely a bounce that was called. And when James was voicing his displeasure, one of the Hinkley lads just threw a dodgeball at his head from back of court, which then escalated the situation somewhat, and we never went back.
Cool.
I'd like to say my time in Bewley was better because we just passed through it on the way from West Midlands Fire Park.
I think I went as a Minotaurs team.
Ooh.
All of that sentence.
Yeah. But yeah, anywho, Brian does excellent work in the community.
Bee dog.
New kit as well for Virtue.
Ah, on a scale of one to the old kit, where are we?
Significantly better, I would
excellent.
Say.
Excellent. I'm happy.
I can't picture it.
It's black and blue. The new kit.
And red all over. Black and white.
Red all over.
Yeah, what's
newspaper?
A newspaper?
What's black and white and red all over? A newspaper.
Oh, it's black and white. It goes, ha, ha, ha. A nun rolling down the hill. No, that's right. Start again. What's black and white?
A nun rolling down the hill.
What's black and white? It goes, ha, ha, ha.
The nun's watching?
The nun that pushed it.
Oh, okay. I was close.
It goes green and red, green and red, green and red, green and red. Frog in a blender. I got that one right, at least.
How would you get it out? Doritos.
Oh.
I will lower the tone.
Anywho, speaking of lowering
the tone.
There
must be like a frogamole kind of like, trying to get like a portmanteau in there.
Frog-a-mole. You heard it here first, gang. Launching in 2025.
Yeah, that leaps off the shelves.
This is what happens when we don't bring sweets.
No, I'm just frantically trying to think of
thinking of is crocamole.
I think crocamole is better than frogamole, personally.
I feel like it's a range, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was that close coming out with a rarebit ribbit joke. I was gonna
Welsh ribbit.
Yeah. If you put it on cheese and toast in Wales, it becomes ribbit. It's fine. Anywho.
This league, different to both of this. Oh, this is such a tangential point. And I'm looking at the wrong column, apart from that.
where were you looking?
So
everyone's on 6 points.
No, I was like, oh my God, everyone's
on. The P stands for points, right?
No one's in negative. I didn't realise it was the points column, not the set difference column.
Paid their fees and fielded ineligible players. Turned up.
I actually have a point. One thing I thought was quite stark in that the men's League 3 North, which you looked at first, it's only the top three teams which are on positive set difference, whereas it's been the top four teams for the other two leagues. And now I'm done. I don't have any more sensible points to make.
Can confirm that was sensible.
No one's learned anything, but, factually accurate.
So I think from memory, the top team goes straight up into one league, and then
two teams go to the
Just second place, I think, becomes part of the playoffs. Second place from...
Yeah. Is it just a straight shootout between the two second place finishers?
It's them two, and then seventh and eighth from one league.
Oh, okay.
Four-team playoff. Two teams go up, two teams go down.
Oh, yeah, I remember this, yeah.
Yeah.
The German football system.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because there was a consultation, wasn't there, about the amount of teams that would have been changing places, because it's a lot.
So if two go up to one league, two come down.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for the north and south?
That's the question I asked. That's something I asked when we looked at the league preview. What if your two northern teams come down?
Whether someone like, I don't know.
I look at this list here and I say Spartans
or whoever might and could transition to the south in a separate. Mustangs.
So obviously I presume this is taking place in the same Sheffield Hall, isn't it? As the three. Where does the southern equivalent take place? Do we know the venue?
Berkshire, I believe.
Oh, it's in Reading, right, okay.
Reading.
I know where that is.
Well, yeah, I'm just looking at that list from Two League North. Realistically, if that's how the table finished tomorrow, then you'd imagine it'd be either Spartans or Virtue, because Virtue, I think, are a bit further down than some people think they are geographically.
Oh. I thought you meant the table. I was like, surely that's not that subjective.
As in, like, well, there's no guarantee that.
But there'll have to be a consultation period, and that I presume a BD official will have to make that call.
Because
yeah.
They'll have to rebalance again, because you can't have the South League with like 9 and 7 in the North.
That'd be
crazy. then it becomes much easier to get promoted from the North League proportionally. Yeah, that's a fair point.
And then obviously you've got to make sure if they're doing it as they're doing now, where you've got the 2 and 3 league on the same day, you've then got to work out the ref and rotor and things like that. So you can't have 1 with 7 and all that stuff. So someone's got to make that call. Glad it's not me.
Shout out to everyone who has been volunteering for the ref, and knowing that I think actually for that mental weekend, a couple of weekends ago. WCs and Double England training. And I think Gareth got everything staffed, so mega shout out to anyone that helped out there. We do appreciate our refs.
Up the volunteers.
We appreciate
all. What are you doing your own time sure.
We appreciate all refs except Sam Warble. Addendum.
There are probably more on that
list. I appreciate
that's a slippery slope I don't really want to go down.
I appreciate him doing it so I don't have to.
But, yeah, actually looking at the league, Raptors, who you've now worked out where they are,
third.
You'd say between...
Positive set difference.
You'd say them and Virtue have spent the most time in the league system at a decent level.
I think out of those...
Because Soldier Bees have never really got that high before.
Phantoms 2 have been around for a little while, but they have now, haven't they? But their team now is probably quite different from...
They've now got a more set team, haven't they?
It's of a similar ilk to our seconds, really, in that they're more of a consistent team in... Rather than, same with Mustangs, you'd say now.
Obviously, we see Mustangs, we see them at Mix quite a lot because they're in the same league, so we know a lot of the players from there. Mm. Obviously, we know that they don't have Jack, for example, he's at Meteors, so the young lads who are with them obviously doing a really good job there with a 5-1 record so far. In the positive, so.
Well, since we don't really know. Do we know who's still around at Bovines? So classically,
Nick's still there.
Nick's still
playing.
Classically, a mixture of University of Sheffield and Hallam students.
I think it's mainly Arrows, I think.
Yeah.
Arrows alumni. Yes, quite a big, seeming like increasingly becoming like a two from three kind of promotion race with. Bovine's currently 5 points adrift of second in fourth, so there's a
and only 2 points separating third from second.
So I think whenever Raptors play against, well, whenever those meetings of those top three come about, I think that will be one to keep an eye on. And we have one of them next time up because Mustangs 1 play against Phantoms 2 on the 6th of April.
But Spartans 3, sorry, just last thing on that one because we haven't really looked at the bottom half. Obviously, Virtue. You know, 2-4 after 6 games is arguably, this isn't the dig it's going to sound like it is, but that's quite good for them given the last few years that they've been floating around
at
the bottom.
Huge turnover as well.
Yeah, and obviously a big turnover again, Josh leaving, other people like that, obviously gaining Nick helps.
Mixed at Raptors.
Is he?
He's only playing mixed for
the... Oh, well, not having Nick doesn't help.
Nick being one of your league rivals, it's generally not helpful.
It's not helpful, no. But, you know, so Virtue, it's good to see them picking up some wins. 2 from 6, obviously, it's not the record many people want, but it's better than when you're going like 1 from 10 type thing. So that's good to see. Spartans 3s, we know, are very young. Speaking of young teams coming through, that is a kids team, really.
Oh, God, yeah. And what a kids team.
Yeah.
But I suppose actually they've got so much young talent there that a lot of those sort of, I don't know what we call them, like headline youngsters are working their way up into the seconds and firsts as well.
Yeah, so. I know there's a Hopkins in the two, at least one of the Hopkins is in the twos, for example.
Yeah.
And then obviously Soldier Bees. It feels like our last year or so of doing these podcasts, maybe longer, it feels like we are often talking about various Bees teams not having a very fun time. And this is continuing somewhat, which is sad. But again, they look like they've had quite a turnover when I see the team sheets. Looks like a relative new amount of faces there. So
I think they now get a lot of muds playing for them as well, which you feel like a couple of years ago, you had muds doing whatever muds were up to, like obviously absolutely no shade, but then there were so many bees, as in like adults have left university, want to keep playing dodgeball bees, that you didn't see that crossover on the rosters so much, whereas I think now, especially those of us who've been around for far too long, far fewer names you recognise, a lot of youngsters, and they've of course got their academy system as well, so I'm not entirely sure how many people they're pulling through from there, but as soon as they hit 15 age. These days, they can go 15, out. And I think the shorter days, a system like this in the regional leagues, is also a lot less of a commitment, because as much as we do enjoy it, sort of, there's no getting around the fact that even for us with a very short drive to get there, a full day at National League is a long mm-hmm. day. It's a big commitment.
Well, yeah, for National League at St George's, if you're you're going to be there from 9:30, and you're not going to leave until at least
9:30.
Oh yeah, if you stay, a minimum 12-hour day.
Yeah, if you're staying for the whole day,
but if you're staying for both sessions,
you can be there comfortably.
It's 12 hours in the hall. That doesn't count travel time.
Yeah, exactly. So for us, we moan about having like a 14.5-hour day, and it's like, I don't know how anyone that lives further away
laughs
than
in
we
storm.
Do. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hear a faint chuckle come from the Norfolk Broads.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, looking at the bottom of that, obviously having two younger new teams at the bottom of that, I'm not too surprised. That league has probably settled as we'd expect. Bovine and Raptors would probably be interchangeable, you would have said, because it depends who they're fielding outside of their one or two kind of more star players. So it's weird to see a dodgeball league actually flatten out in a quite expected pattern.
Yeah. Another
I don't like it.
Bit to your point about what do you do with the promotion stuff, I think another thing about sort of Men's League 2, Men's League 3, generally the Men's Leagues haven't had this problem for the last couple of years, but of course whether teams come back next year is also not necessarily a given. So I think there'll be because we unfortunately had quite a lot of that in the Women's Leagues last year. And I think that's one of the reasons why we don't have a women's... No, there is a women's third league, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're not in it. Sort of despite our ladies having come ninth or tenth last year.
That's more in terms of fielding a third rather than relegation. That's
I think you'll find all our teams, our ladies second, are among the happiest. But yeah, so...
Just in life.
Yeah, I mean, not wrong. But yeah, so I think there's also that factor of like, right, so you have these teams that are north and south. Are all of them going to come back this year? Which ones have gone up? Which ones should be going down? Who's actually coming back? Where are the new teams coming from? And I'd have thought for a few years there might be a bit more, especially in the League 3, kind of like a wholesale reshuffle as you do sort of the realignment for the start of the next season. Obviously, you need to try to be as fair as possible, as you say, because you don't want to bias one league to be a much easier route to moving up. But this is, I feel like it's that we've taken the leap this year, haven't we, to move away from St George's and have these regionalised leagues. I think there'll be a couple of years of sort of growing pains maybe where it's all a bit less sure than you'd like it to be, and then hopefully another couple of years it'll all be, maybe I'll do two podcasts if we're talking about Men's League 5, but
and to see who goes up on. We'll look at how are we saying this, Men's South 2 League. We're going to say South and the two?
I think the location, then the number.
It's got to finish on
South
League.
South 2 League. Yeah.
So it's when
I like that.
It's South 2 League. Men's South 2 League. There we go.
Ah, finally, a storm.
Essex's words.
Ah, and Carmarthen in this league, which is not the same league as Rhondda 2's, because Rhondda 1's are in League 1. I'm getting there. How could I? And our friends Thunder Dodge, who having had a rather torrid time last season in League One, having played seven, they're on the old Peugeot 106. And with only the one win.
I'm absolutely desperate to get a Pitbull 305 in somewhere, but I just don't
know. I want a 212, but I don't think anyone's played five matches.
Yeah, we've missed that. I think
scour the mixed leagues, the regional leagues.
I'm waiting for my 305.
You've got a 304, should I quite say, is it?
Carmarthen could do a solid and just play
one game. The first game.
Yeah, then we can get an updated table. That would be delightful.
Yeah, so...
And who is their first game against? And are they likely to lose it? Cyclones 2. So, based on Cyclones' current position at the bottom of the table, probably not.
No, we're going to go from... Yeah.
Although I think that is probably because of not fielding a team rather than necessarily
I'm just looking at that Thunder Dodge Essex's words score.
12-14.
So only have lost by a set. that's got a sting, because I think that's the other thing, is that it doesn't obviously tell the whole story. Their set difference actually isn't bad for a team in second to last, minus 34. Like, you see,
compared, I mean, they're to not Essex in mid-table with a worse set difference.
Yeah, and bloody hell,
so Canterbury with two.
Canterbury with positive two set difference still managed to be in sixth, which is just
that's outrageous.
That is outrageous.
I think they're 40-0. Marco Grover Cyclone's probably doing a bit of the heavy lifting in terms of the set difference, but still to lose.
No, they won that fair and square. They worked hard for those.
It's not marked as a walkover, so you know, Cyclones could have had the most consistent day of anyone and lost both games. Turned up lost both games 40-0.
True.
Oh, a 10-10 draw. You'd love to see it. A 12-12 draw.
Yes, in like 3 weeks of fixtures, there's been quite a lot of close ones, but there's been quite a few.
Thunderdodge again only lost by two sets to Carmarthen in the first meet. So it looks like they're much more
At a level,
yeah. I was trying to work out how to say that, because I really don't mean that as a diss. I think there's nothing worse.
But we know they've lost players again, as we just said, with Berkshire. So we know Berkshire. I always say Berkshire, but it's Berkshire, isn't
I think
it?
If you're posh, it's Berkshire.
Okay, well, Berkshire.
Why isn't it spelled with an A then?
Yeah, exactly. So we know that they've lost a couple of players who were actually doing quite well for them in one league. So to get relegated and then lose some of your better players as well, that's still a tough turnaround. Yeah. People just look at, oh, they're a relegated team. They should probably do quite well at a lower level. It's not that simple sometimes.
No Frank, no Josh.
No, as we said, David Bradbury, for example, who's doing there. I don't know if I'm surprised at the words being mid-table. I feel like we've seen them on such a trajectory the last couple of years. It feels weird that they're not at the top. But I also feel like I'm waiting for that bubble with Saints to burst, because Saints have also been dominating everything for what feels like 2 years now.
Yeah,
so I think Saints, this is probably one of those leagues where if Saints are to go up, which looks fairly likely at this point, almost the legal benefit from that, because it's like when Silverbacks are on their absolute rampage through the league, it doesn't help everyone else to just have one team in there who's like, we're just here to get through, sort of get out of my way. And then, as you say, they can all settle to be much more of a, not necessarily a completely level playing field, but more a league of just about equals, which is really, should be the most enjoyable. I mean, I know everyone likes winning, and if you can win a league like very easily, that's great. But I think it does, most of us, I think once you sort of mature a bit, like you want to work for stuff. Like there's a lot less enjoyment in just sort of being handed the wins than if you're in the wrong level league for you.
I'd win a league through default. I'd take it.
COVID helped us win a league.
So I got asked a would you rather question on about winning something. I want to get your, I don't know if you heard this. This was going around the changing rooms after one of the phone sessions.
I don't.
So would you you take a tombstone catch in front of everyone to win Super League. So this catch finishes a set and wins a league. But as you take the tombstone, you shit yourself. And I mean, it's obvious and they all know. Oh, you're doing it?
Yeah.
Are you tombstone catching and explosive shitting everywhere to win Super League?
People will take a while to forget about the shitting yourself, but that medal will still be there.
I think I said no.
You are not competitive enough.
Leaning
no, to be honest.
The sheer concept of winning Super League is so alien. So
the concept of shitting
yourself is not. I've done one of those two things in my life.
Recently as well.
I was like, as someone who suffers from IBS, it's like, I'm not going to volunteer for any more.
But yeah, there you go. That was a question that was asked. Have a think. I was like, I see the merits in both.
Yeah.
Does it have to be a tombstone catch? Or can I just do like a squat catch and all?
No, because tombstone's funny, because you think about it. How do you go, it's like a trail. So I think visually it's better as a tombstone, and also that's a better catch.
Yeah.
Aesthetically, it looks more dramatic, doesn't it, if you do it all?
Are you doing it like away from the camera on the stream as well?
Possibly. I'll tell you what, to sweeten the deal, if you get on the fence, I'll let you pick who you catch to do it. You can catch any player in the league, and that's who you take the tombstone catch off.
I actually don't know who I most want to catch at Women's Super League. Oh no, I do. Mush from Storm, who absolutely ate me alive last time I played her. I would like
She's
to catch
very
her.
Good.
She's so good. She's so, like, aggressive as well. Like, a lovely woman, but she's so in your face as a player. She's like, just leave me alone.
Can't we all just get along?
Yeah. Like, I'm just trying to play dodgeball here. Like,
yeah, you're trying to play dodgeball. She's just here to win whatever it is in front of her. Yeah. She doesn't care if it's dodgeball. Any takers for who you'd like to shit yourself and catch?
I was going to say Lisa Barrington, but I've already caught her.
Catch and then shit sure yourself. Yeah. First. Yeah, make sure the catcher's first. Doubt
us to win.
Yeah.
There's a lot of candidates, I must say.
Yeah, throughout Men's Super League.
Would it be funnier to do it, like, you want to do it to someone who's going to be completely appalled, though, don't you? Just for the extra hilarity.
So insert any ranger. Because I feel like...
Stone Street.
Yeah. That would be funny. But then there's, like, if you did it to, say, a Steve, then...
Would they just wet himself laughing?
Tombstone Catching Steve in itself is...
Yeah. Funny.
Because he's got such a
collector's item.
It's a collector. That's a collector's item because he's such a good thrower. Then you've got people who might react funny. Mm. I'd say maybe a Parsons or a Stone Street would be funny. But then would it be funny to do it in front of one of my friends a la Tom Walsh?
I kind of feel like if it was Brief...
Or like Gittins or someone who I know quite well.
I think Gittins' head would genuinely explode. I think he wouldn't, like, the processing power required to understand what would just happen.
I think it'd be much safer doing it against Gittins as well, because everyone who knows Gittins would forget about that and just rip him for losing Super League.
But yeah, there you go. For anyone who is listening and made it this far, well done.
On a long drive, are you?
Through all our geography chat.
Need a break?
send a message in to the Instagram.
To Jordan,
mostly.
Very much.
Who would enjoy it and he'll pass it on. Would you shit yourself and do it? And secondly, who would you like to catch?
Yes.
To make it a bit sweeter. But I just thought that was a funny question.
I'd have put it as a poll early on Insta.
Men's One League, mm-hmm. Not only are Nottingham Sheriffs 2 sitting pretty, they are 1-2-3.
They are 1-2-3. Excellent.
Cute.
Excellent.
Are 2 1-2-3s. MK Cyclones also 1-2-3. And Manchester Workbees 006, James Bond's less interesting brother.
Less effective. License to stun.
Isn't 006
license to be
in the latest situations of Bond?
Sorry, English. I don't know.
So
here are Ronda Dragons. I have found them.
You found Ronda. And how are Ronda doing, Catherine?
They're doing very well, thank you, Dave.
420.
420 Blazing.
This is where Birmingham Blaze need to come back.
They've had the no losses in two. The classic undefeated, as we now term it.
No. No. Let's not say this is a new thing.
The truly undefeated.
Yeah, Bedford Mighty Eagles being truly undefeated. In the spirit of the word. But hey, when
I'm so glad this isn't my own house because I have to be polite.
I'd be flipping
chairs.
To be fair, like, we want to get into controversial territory. At what point do you reckon Bedford are planning to bottle it this season?
Well, I don't know. I haven't asked Arnie when he wants to get injured.
Yeah.
Because I feel like
currently they're dangerously.
There's plenty of time.
Dangerously. Yeah, 100%.
Probably, yeah. I feel like they were. I'm pretty sure they were top of the league.
They were top, but then Arnie. And clearly, obviously, we don't wish an injury on anyone. And it looked awful, whatever. It was his finger.
Can't remember. No, it was his knee or something, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, like, sort of, obviously hope Arnie gets better. Let's see how they handle it. And then they, to be fair, absolutely fell apart for a couple of meets.
It was bad timing in terms of their next meets, I believe, with some of the, like, tougher games.
Yeah,
the top
so I think
the
what
league,
they'd like to
which is bad timing.
Yeah.
But, obviously, Bedford are sitting six wins from six at the moment. So they're doing pretty well. And they are playing Ronda next time, first game.
Ooh.
Which is going to go... It's quite, that's such a big game. Obviously, I'd say the people who are probably not happy with where they are, given last season, would be MK, given the fact that they're 7th, is it? Or 8th? Well, you sneeze then, or are you about to just stop yourself saying something?
Sorry.
That was a bit.
I mean, they're on 4 points, and like it's only set difference keeping them down from 6th, which again is probably a step down on where they would have liked to have been, certainly. But.
Mm.
Oh, everyone's in awe. No, they're not. Fucking hell. Storm 2 letting the side down.
They have. Storm 2 have got the Mean Girls, though. They've got the 4-1-1.
We're getting Nisha now, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're getting Nisha.
That's the change to the Nisha. Like, the extra sugar babe.
I thought you were going to say
Nisha
or something like that.
That's Mushy Bueno, isn't it? Is that his name?
She won't have the piercing.
Yeah, went on Big Brother. Are you thinking Castiel from Supernatural?
Misha Collins.
Unlikely.
No, I don't think that's who she's thinking of, Jordan. She's definitely thinking of a female singer.
Is there not a Misha somewhere?
There has been quite a few shows.
Is it Misha Barton?
Oh, maybe. More likely. Than
I don't think that's who she might mean either.
I don't. That's
there was a Sugar Babe within...
Yeah, that's Misha? I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, I can never say it right. But the one who had the little piercing.
Yeah.
The lip. Yeah, I can never say it right.
Misha Buena. That's the name. The one with the two piercings.
Big sister of Kinder.
How are you spelling that?
Mutya. She was in Big Brother.
Right, okay.
Again, R2s, I just want to give them a shout out, obviously.
Now we finished our Sugar
Babe. Yeah, from there. Like the 1-2, they obviously two draws, and the two draws were Ronda and MK. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah.
I'll go out on a limb and say, obviously, there's slight controversy over the Ronda one with the timing issue, but...
Frustrating for us.
Yeah, frustrating.
But,
Tis what tis.
It's the way the cookie crumbles.
Yeah. Very, very annoying.
The overdone cookie because you left it in too long.
Yeah.
It would have been less scrumpy a couple of seconds earlier, but we're not saying that. So leaving them and Coventry Silverbacks and MK all on 4 points. So there's a lot to play for them.
Mainly only a point behind them on 3 as well.
Oof. So yeah, it is a really exciting league. And obviously I'm not saying the others aren't, it's just that I'm lazy and haven't been.
You're a bee. Because where
Story
are the bees
of our
teams?
Lives.
They are bottom again.
I think maybe we just established that bees really like Super League and then other bees struggle.
Yes. You really need the killer instinct, don't you, to succeed there.
Although I think you'll find queen bees are in 9th, because I know who's in 10th.
But it's interesting to see the two relegated sides from last year, neither occupying the top two spots at the moment, which feels slightly different. Normally one team does a bounce back straight away. It's fairly common.
I feel like this is what an absolute lion's den to be pitched into, though. It's like you sort of, and I think both Storm 2 and... Wessex gave generally good accounts of themselves in Super League last year. They weren't playing matches where they're just getting, even if the score suggested they were going down.
Yeah, the actual sets.
The sets were very engaging. There was some excellent play from all the players involved.
Leeds, we were wondering what Leeds were going to show up this year, weren't we, a while ago? And so far they've been pretty good.
I was going to say, pretty good Leeds.
Well, they were until this time out, I think.
Yeah, but again, they've lost one game to Bedford at the top.
One game to
only by a couple
one game
of sets.
To Wessex. Yeah, so I haven't gone three wins on the first fixture, three losses on the second.
Three left, but I don't think any of them were by two. I can see
they're
two 13-9s.
There's a lot of close games
and a
15-9 in this league everywhere.
Another 9.
They do. I think they'll be disappointed to lose to Ronda by that much, given how close they were to Wessex and Bedford. Mm. That extra set does make a bit of a difference. But yeah, it's interesting. Just we know what Leeds are probably being as consistent as they have been off the meet so far. So. It's quite interesting, isn't it? I'm just looking. We actually got a couple of draws in the last one. So obviously I said Cherish 2 and MK were with one.
Storm and Rangers.
Which
I think
was
a little surprising to me. But a good, decent meet for Rangers 2, actually, with a win over Workerbees actually gives a bit of definition at the bottom. Although Silverbacks 2 doing a bit of a number on them elsewhere in the day.
Yes, so the big matchup is...
Immediately...
That's two huge matches at 2:45 then, on the 30th of March, because we had whatever the hell it was last time. In the other league, we had Top B Top, I think. We called out the match in...
In Two League, wherever it was. Or Two League North, I can't remember which one it was.
Anywho.
I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. This has not been our best one. So starting off strong with Ronda versus Mighty Eagles, which will be incredibly interesting. And then, so an interesting day for Ronda, Eagles, Wessex, and then
Storm 2.
So a difficult day. I think our seconds versus Leeds will be really interesting. Our seconds have Workers, which we like
workers,
to think we know.
Workers will probably want to. Workers will definitely see that as they probably need to get a result out of that game or the Cyclones
definitely.
Game. Or the Coventry game, basically. They're all like...
They need a result.
Yeah. Or actually, when they play all of the teams from a second time, they could get some results out of those games as well. I think we would do them a favour.
Yes, of course, because we are hitting, now that we're back on the St. George's fixtures, we're hitting these next three will bring us to midway, won't they? Correct. So everyone's lining these up as, right, we need to know where we are at halfway, and we need to then work out what our options are moving forward.
It really does, like, define how you approach the second half of the season.
Doesn't it just?
Which, our team, our men's ones, when we get to that league, is a perfect example of that, given the league meet, and also speaking to the Norwich lads when they stayed over, they've also got, like, a massive league meet, which we'll get to shortly. But, yeah, it's very interesting. Like, if you're Bedford and you go and win three more today, on that one, sorry, when you get there, then you're almost going to have to work hard to not be in the top two.
Yeah. We get to a point where mathematically you can only do so bad.
Like, if they go out and beat Rhondda now, then obviously it would mean if, say, Rhondda stay in second
for the rest of the season. Point, they'll have a 4-point cushion.
Rhondda would not only have to beat them in the next reverse fixture, which would be the final day. Another loss, more importantly, for Bedford. Rhondda have to win everything regardless.
Yeah.
Because this is always a thing in sport. You have to look at, like, are the teams above us going to drop more points than us, even if we do our bits?
Yeah.
That's what you've got to look at.
Especially with... So if Eagles could have a brilliant day if they beat both Rhondda and Storm 2 in second and third, and Rhondda plays Storm 2 as well. So
one of them's going to drop further.
One of them will drop. And I guess Eagles would probably rather a Rhondda win and separate the distance from third for automatic.
Yeah, everyone wants a league title. Everyone be lying if they don't. But at this point, promotion is promotion. That comes first, doesn't it? Who's Bedford's other game, sorry? It's on the left, I think, isn't it?
Silverbacks 2. Bedford will look at all games as winnable.
But it also becomes that after a point when you're in the league, once you get to that second half of the year, if you're playing a team who are 9-0, mentally that's a different game as well.
Yeah.
You approach things so differently in the second half of the season because a pattern has been established. Unless you're someone like MK, who's going to want a much stronger second half of the season, given what they've got available, players-wise. Still my favourite league.
Mm-hmm.
Still my favourite.
And I think as well, looking at our seconds have Rangers 2. That's a huge match for them, because actually, even though they're 2 points clear in the table, there's only a point in it. Yeah. So to beat, if we assume that we were to beat Workers, the result against Rangers is really going to determine whether we get sort of catapulted up into, like, really properly the mid-table, or actually a Rangers going to drag themselves kicking and screaming into that mid-table and it becomes sort of like 10th, 9th to 4th and the top 3 or something ridiculous like that, or 9th to 5th probably as we're looking at the minute, isn't it? But it is just such a dynamic league, and I think any of those, you could tell me that any matchup between any of those two teams was a really good match, and I'd be like, oh yeah, of course it was. Like, there's no real scratch fixtures in there where you're just like, oh okay, well, so and so will put up a really good fight, they will go this way in the end. Potentially with the exception of, like, maybe Bedford versus Worker Bees or something like that. And on to the big leagues.
Which league are we in, Catherine?
Men's League Super.
Correct. So.
Do you want Tom Walsh's statch? Statch?
I don't want a statch.
No.
You can keep that, but go on.
I likely decline.
So they meet. So by the end of the last meet.
You laughing at the idea of Tom's meet?
No. It's just the statch and then the meet.
So by the end of the last meet, Norwich Nighthawks have lost more games in this current season than they have in the three preceding seasons.
And that's what we were talking about earlier with Saints and teams who just fly up.
Just fly up.
At some point, it's going
to
happen.
My mum always says, the wheels have to come up eventually.
That's a really positive outlook you've got to go in there.
Not if you're a butt. Yut.
There's more doors.
That holds a bark up. That is a throwback.
But yeah, but I think it is true. Like, outlook for the whole of life, very poor. But, like, in terms of sport, you are going to hit a challenge eventually. Because even Lutterworth and Spartans at the top aren't having it all their own way. Because they've drawn to each other, haven't they?
No. Meteors drew with Storm. Spartans drew with Derby.
Better.
And then Derby drew with us for their second draw.
Bees drew with Nighthawks.
Yes.
And that is all the draws in this league.
Yes. And Coventry, bless him, 006.
A poor, not a poor set of fixtures. Not a good week for Cobb last time out.
No.
I believe to us and Spartans 2.
Spartans 2, yeah. What was the score on the Spartans 2-1 in the end?
14-10.
14-10.
I think actually, that was actually streamed, would recommend watching it. Yeah. But I think it might have been 12-10 going into a minute set, which then Spartans won. So
it was.
Yeah, could have. I think a draw would have done Coventry the world of good. But
could have, would have, shown.
Yeah, Spartans 2 coming out top on that occasion.
Yeah, and Spartans 2.
And the Spartans derby actually, not particularly decisive in favour of the ones. 15-9 in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Always a weird one though, isn't it? Because you know it's the second team, you know your first team so intimately, and vice versa, that I think you get a different side of the teams when you play.
Yeah, because it's like when you go to training and you play, like you say, you train against each other, you all know what everyone can do, and you know their strengths a little more, so they'll know, like, oh, Alex Such in the twos is going to do, this is his favourite move, so we won't throw to that, and we know Harrison's going to do this, but everyone knows what Harrison is going to be good, but he's going to do something good.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you do treat it differently. So, and there's a lot of quality in that Spartans 2 team, so I'm not overly surprised, because Spartans 1s are, some of them are being held together by a lot of tape at the moment.
Mm.
They are not the fittest bunch of individuals as it stands, like, in terms of just injuries.
Mm.
So it's going to be quite interesting if any changes are made in terms of, like, the ones gaining anyone else for the next meet. Because I think there's a few more injury concerns coming into this next week.
Depending when you listen to this.
But yeah, it's a week
on an unspecified amount of time from this being released. Because who have Spartans won? They've got next time. And they got Meteors, have they?
Yes, they have Derby, they have us, and they have Meteors.
So yeah, that's this could be a league defining meet for Spartans playing the top two.
Oh, it's a big meet for Meteors though as well. So they've got Phantoms,
Killer Bees,
and Spartans.
But have you looked at the meet for the bottom of the table? Have you seen who Nighthawks have this time?
They got they're currently
they have Silverbacks, they have us, and they have Spartans twos.
So
they're currently they're sat in ninth, and they're playing.
And we have Spartans twos, and Nighthawks.
Yeah.
So there's a big ramifications coming out of this.
At the bottom of the table.
I think the question I just asked there, just to be sort of like unnecessarily controversial, does that top place currently for Meteors flatter them slightly at this point? When you look at the standard of teams they have to play on their last leg versus... I'm not saying because I believe it. I'm just being devil's advocate.
They're top
for a reason.
They dispatched Rangers pretty handily, I think, last time out in the end. The score might say it was... was it 18-4? They beat Rangers.
Mm.
Oof, yeah.
You know, which is pretty big. And we reffed, and I've watched back their Storm game where they drew 12-12. Obviously, Storm had some very good moments in that.
Yeah.
But I think that's the most kind of scatty and not on the same page I've seen Meteors for a while.
I was going to say, so Meteors' version of bottling it where you draw against a very good team.
Yeah. And anyone else gets 12, most teams get a 12-12 against Storm, they're probably quite happy. Yeah. Meteors are not happy with that.
Yeah.
I think they'll admit themselves that wasn't their best performance. They had some nice moments, but not enough. But obviously Storm also played above their level, a lot of conversion things. But I've been most impressed with Meteors this year in terms of who I think's been the best team. I think it's fair that they're top.
Okay.
Because I think they're looking cohesive. And it's also very weird to see them have the biggest squad. Freaks me out somewhat. They've got 10.
Nah.
Yeah, what? I was chatting to Brett about this, and he's like, we don't know what to do. We've never had to plan this many subs. Like, it's never been an issue, because obviously normally someone hasn't turned up or someone's been injured or whatever.
Yeah, someone's on a stag do.
Yeah, exactly. So this might be the difference that carries them through, having 10 fit players of the quality. Because you think they already had a decent 8, and then they've added Jamie and Jack.
Yeah.
Who start probably in a key players for nearly every other team in the league, realistically. So obviously we will see what happens at this meet, but them versus Derby feels really big, especially because it's the first game. Of course we're reffing it.
You're always in the middle of everything.
Oh God, I hate it so much.
Reffing.
Yeah.
You get to ref Spartans 2 against Norwich as well.
Ooh, oh, that's going to be shouty. Yes, we might have to.
A game with ramifications?
Yeah, well,
that can't be happening.
We can. Yeah, Norwich ref us in the game before against Spartans once.
We'll do them a solid.
We'll see how they ref us, shall we? And go from there. But yeah, it's going to be a big day at the top and bottom of the table. But then obviously, what's going to go under the radar is Rangers play Storm.
Yeah. Yeah.
For example,
Storm against Bees as well.
That'll be a game that gets loud.
Yeah. This is what I mean. There's...
Are Rangers capable of being quiet? That's the main question.
They were fairly quiet against us.
I think it's more with Rangers as a support as well, which I'm not saying is a diss. I think it's great. There's
it's good they've got fans. This is why when I've been reffing the Women's Super League this year, I haven't enjoyed necessarily reffing Derby because there's so many fans watching, and Storm, it's the same issue. I ref Storm versus Storm. That was loud.
Yeah.
Because everyone's cheering everything.
Yeah.
So that one's really tough.
Stop having fun.
Yeah. It's really hard as a ref when you've got that many fans watching because they're all making calls just loudly to blindly support their team.
Yeah.
Like,
and I was like, no, I can't hear.
Oh, my team is the aggressor, so that's definitely a hit.
Yeah. It's a great hit, so and so. You're like, no, it wasn't.
Exactly.
Moving on.
But this is the biggest. This feels like the biggest meet Super League's had for a while.
I think especially to have those three matches as well, you get sort of like, well, we get 50% extra drama, don't you? But it does feel like, I think that's one of the things that takes a bit of getting used to, having moved from the 8 meets to 6 meets.
Mm-hmm.
9.
Is it 9?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, because we do an extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. 18 fixtures. Mm-hmm. Split.
Yeah. So is that like, every meet is so consequential. Like, not that obviously you didn't, but for some teams, did you have meets which they could just sort of autopilot through? Because if Meteors, for example, had the two bottom tier teams, you'd be like, oh, they're probably useful, like easy to like enjoy games, but they wouldn't necessarily mean very much. But now you've got three fixtures, the chances of something consequential happening to every single team is so much higher. And yeah, and the table moves so much every time we come back to it. I think that's what's taking a lot of getting used to.
Yeah, it always moves early on in the season, but I think especially when you play three fixtures and teams can very conceivably go and secure three wins or have three defeats and then find themselves in a different, complete region of the table compared to where they were previously.
Thanks to Sheriff One, the tables can change a lot in the last fixture as well.
Yeah. it's always the bridesmaid, never the bride. But I don't want the versions of like kingmakers, because I feel like you're often the kingmakers. Like you're never really in that top three for the medals. But by God, are you gonna ruin someone's day?
We're gonna stop someone else being there.
Yeah.
Always the Lannister, never the Baratheon.
Yeah. No, it is. I think it's also, I think, while we've talked a lot about in the last couple of years about sort of the style of men's dodgeball changing a lot, obviously moving more into the one ball game, sort of people getting a lot bigger, throwing getting a lot faster, I feel like we've maybe sort of started to plateau a bit in that I think people have found sort of like a, not necessarily optimal, but a style of five ball that seems to work for a lot of the teams. And I think the development of slightly different tactics is coming back in, whereas I think for a couple of seasons, everyone's been chasing that. Well, only Meteors can do the Meteor style, but the Spartan style has been very dominant in this.
Spartans and Derby have quite a similar style.
Yeah, and I think that's been dominating
for
a few years, whereas I think now people have got the hang of
that.
How to play that. Because I'd say you guys, especially in the few
don't
matches
you
played last time, yeah, but you were playing, you suddenly looked very much yourselves while keeping up with the team. Because we've always said that sort of we don't necessarily have the firepower to match toe-to-toe the bigger teams playing the Spartans or the Derby style. But suddenly, at least as a spectator, I thought that you really found some identity last meet, and you weren't playing exactly like any other teams playing. You were being a lot more mobile and sort of using your wiles to get round people in a way that I think people have taken a few seasons to settle into with the changes in the men's game. So personally, I think I'm enjoying men's Super League a lot more than I did last year.
It's really
stylistically.
It's funny you say about the change in style, because we all know I'm a bit of a sad bastard and watch stuff. I was in a YouTube hole the other week, and I found like a few of the old like 17, 18 international five ball tournaments.
Yeah.
So I went and watched a couple of my
it's
old
like a
island
different game.
Went and watched a couple of my old island games, because that's always fun to watch back.
and then like watch the respective finals in all of it. And like, I think the first one I watched was like the men's 17 final, which was Scotland. The players involved, very familiar. The style, not so much.
Yeah.
Even like watching how Austria have
moved
evolved, come on in such a way, it was wild. And then when Northern Ireland played in the, I think in the, we had them in the third place playoff, watching a little baby Adam Hill come on, who's like just somehow more limbs than he is now, because it was like his first one, was quite interesting. Looking obviously the journey that they've gone on since then as well. Yeah. Just the sheer lack of tactics to now, where I'd argue it's so tactics heavy and so much more disciplined. Well,
it's so chess-like, isn't it? Because that's the bit where I always feel like when I'm in the box, I can't really help you, because everyone's like, what should we do? And I'm like, have you considered throwing more balls? But like, and sometimes that's valid, and often it isn't, because I think these days you are genuinely trying to play two or three players ahead, because possession is so critical.
Everyone's so scared of being thrown at now.
Yeah. That you are being like, we need, and it means that you have to be so in sync and like perfectly reactive with your countering game, because otherwise you're just going to get pinned at the back, don't you, for play after play after play, because anyone can do, they've thrown one, we'll throw one back.
As
no
a
one
middle
died,
player,
it's
can
fine.
Confirm you do get pinned back.
Yeah.
We'll confirm.
Yeah, and I think it is, for me as a spectator and with my biases, and they are biases, like I'm not saying I've got a like particularly sort of definitive opinion on men's dodgeball. I think it's a much more interesting season this season, watching people play it than last season.
I'd rather watch Meteors play than Derby or Spartans play.
Oh, 100%.
I think they're a better spectator sport. And that first half we had against Derby, the difference was how aggressive we were.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we don't have the strongest throws in like a speed 0-60, but if you're that close to someone
and your release
and
speed
and
accuracy
accurate,
is very good,
doesn't really matter at this level. I think the more aggressive game is much better to watch, and it feels better to play.
Yeah, because I think
it doesn't work every time, but
that's what I've been frustrated sort of for you in the box, is like when you know you're already on the back foot, and then you try and sort of defense your way out of it, it can become very sterile, because it's just like, oh, they're going to hoof one, we're going to throw ourselves on the floor and like trying desperately to get out of the way, and then we're going to have three, and we're not really going to know what to do with it, so we'll give them one back, I guess, and then we'll set up again. You're like, right, and so it continues for 3 minutes.
Yes. Big meat.
Jordan's favourite.
I vote we call them fixtures from now on.
Nope.
I cannot keep listening to Dave talking about a big meat for Meteors.
I've been lied to.
You what?
I thought you said there was a women's three league.
There's three women's leagues. There's women's league super, there's women's one league, and there's women's two league.
You got the syntax wrong.
Syntax error.
All right, English grad.
Catherine.
Makes an ass out of you and me.
So it's just rude. But okay.
Sad.
In investigation, assumptions.
Oh, of course, because they play at the same time as League One. One league, don't they? Yes, it's all coming back to me now. A lot of stuff's happened this year.
Same Dion over here.
As ever, Saints causing trouble. With a classic.
When the Saints go marching in.
Yeah, a definitive 40-0 victory over MK Cyclones.
Followed up by a 40-0 victory for White Tigers 2 over MK Cyclones.
Some would say they didn't turn up. We would say you can't prove it.
Model of consistency.
Yeah. So Coventry Silverbacks have
dig up the table
one of the teams that's benefited from
existing
and picking up players.
Has
from
anyone
Raptors
ever really benefited from existence?
have benefited from Raptors folding, unfortunately, as much as we don't want to.
In terms of the personnel they've got.
Yes, exactly.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Some very familiar faces. So that is where Alex Lancaster is currently playing.
And Manon Dixon.
And
I think
some
the other
friends.
Raptors. Yeah, I think they're basically moved basically
from Coventry.
Yeah, from Raptors. But they're some pretty beefy set difference for Coventry, in addition to 5 wins out of 5.
Yeah, so I think that they're very much wanting to style themselves as the sort of the Norwich Nighthawks sort of in the ascendance. They'll be pushing to get into Super League in 2 seasons time, which when you look at the personnel they've got, if they can hold on to the personnel and keep playing consistently, there's no reason why they wouldn't be capable of that. Although, as we keep saying, amazing to have our first year of Women's 2 League. Mm. And the consistency and quality of these leagues does improve every year, even in Super League, which, you know, it would be nice if it didn't, to be really honest. But there we are. And the Honeybees having taken a hit with their personnel just in terms of numbers, Manchester coming down into League 2. But they've got 3 wins on the board, so 302 for them. And it's only really the Cyclones, who is their first year in competitive National League for the women's. So
yeah.
Mainly just, like, obviously, unfortunately, not able to field a team for one league, but we really hope they were to get out for the rest of the meets. Just because it's good to sort of encourage people to keep playing and also makes it much more interesting for the rest of the league, because nothing like actually having to play the team the one time they do turn up, and then everyone else getting a 40-0 against them to really ruin your day. Saints, I'd have thought, would be potentially fancying themselves for a promotion as well, because there's a lot of experienced players there that we know would be fancying at least League One, if not Super League. But the White Tigers too benefit from the training with the White Tigers 1 players, who of course now have Heather and Meg, who apparently was retiring. Anyone remember that rumour?
From which year
again?
Yeah. And Lauren Hems. So, you know, you're welcome.
Is it a rumour if Meg states it herself?
It's just a lie at this point.
This year, definitely.
She sits on a throne of lies.
So great to see them playing again. But and then again, as we said, it's the same outfit as Mustangs, because they're not called Predators anymore, because that was a bad show.
I blanked that from my memory.
Predators.
Reason.
Yeah. But so they've got plenty of young talent. You're literally a walking vine.
You all knew exactly what I meant by that as well. You all know the video I prefer.
If I don't say that at least 5 times at work, it's not been a good day.
It's a really good genre of video. It's funny.
No, I am. I'm panicking now.
Okay, let's go. The train. Have you seen that? The guy who's got his like carnival set. Mm-hmm. So we and him used to always say it. Because the quote in this video is, okay, let's go.
And then happy hardcore style.
Yeah, and then Sophia started saying it, and I knew she hadn't seen the video, and she said it like at the end. And I was like, do you know what this is from? And she's like, I thought it was just like a game thing. I'm like, oh no, it's better. Have you seen this? I must say that at least 10 times a week for various things. Like, Smears, like, you got your car keys? Yep. Okay, let's go. It should be how they start dodgeball matches. It's 100%. Both teams ready? Okay, let's go.
That's reminding me of the runaway mine train at Alton Towers with the choo-choo.
that's magnificent. The guy sounds like he's so depressed.
How'd you go around twice, so you get him sent to you twice and go to the bridge?
Yeah, and he gives you a little wave from his like cabin box over the bridge.
Choo-choo.
Okay, I'll tell you what, if I'm in by myself at any point in the next league, I'm going to look over to the boxers and go, I'm panicking now!
He's going
to lose my job! Before the next thing happens, I'll shout that.
Well, then Sasha will go, okay, let's go!
And then go for a counter and just eat the last go.
Next time we do a break, we're all just trying to share us.
Okay. Anywho, sorry for my meme distraction.
Always welcome a meme distraction.
Well, I have just realised what an absolute clusterfuck this league is, in the second till fourth, all on 6 points.
So, 14 points worth of set difference.
Fun fact, Coventry's set difference is the next 3 teams added up. That's how much of a set difference they've achieved. Men's, women's?
Men's?
Men's, women's. Women's 2 league.
No, we just did that.
Women's 1 league, Midlands.
2024.
Oh, ladies, in third. On the same. I hadn't realised, on the same points as Leamington Spartans 2.
So that's joint
second. We're coming for you.
That's joint second.
Although that set difference, how the fuck have we done that?
By
losing nine sets.
By scoring 42 points and conceding.
And conceding
60.
We have the worst set difference in the league. We're third. Look at us go.
The little engine.
When
that
we win, we win, and when we lose, we really lose.
I feel for Mavericks on that regard with
-12.
-12 set difference after.
What was the pitball score you wanted?
014.
I wanted them to be 5-3 or 5.
Oh,
nice.
Right. It's a different area. 3-5 is Miami. 5-3 is somewhere else.
Somewhere we're walking. Yeah.
So if we go.
I'll find out where it is. I'll Google what the area, like what area.
Some guy from Milwaukee's been emailing me at work. So it's into my head.
About work or just got your email address?
No, exactly.
You sure it's not one of those like phishing tests from your corporate
he's
email?
He's at the University of Milwaukee. He wants some data out of a paper that got published in like 8-9 years ago. And he's like, can I have this data? It's like, not only was I not here, it's
Oregon.
It's also not my data.
It's Oregon. Yeah, it's oregano.
Oregano?
I presume
Milwaukee. Oh, 305. I thought you were talking about Milwaukee. I was like, I didn't realise it was in Oregon.
The Oregon Trail.
Honestly, it's like someone's just programmed the soundboard sometimes.
414.
414.
For Milwaukee.
414. Phones for you.
Yeah. The first time you mastered that was a good day. Anyone old enough listening will know we didn't know. Please keep hold of your steering wheel.
Do you have any, like, phones for you? Was there a four less as well, or was it just phones for you? Because you could do the whole jingle if you wanted to.
That's British Sign Language.
Phones for you, four less phones for you. No, different generation of advert. All right, I'll shut up.
I genuinely have no idea what
it's only one advert jingle that matters, and that's Auto Glass Repair.
Auto Glass Replace.
Oh. 0800 00 1066.
That's TV then. Yeah, that was also TV. Television. Yeah. That was television.
Anyway, dodgeball.
Back to Women's One League 2024.
So Leeds will be looking to make a dent in this league as well, because you know that they would also like to be in this conversation about whether they want to be going up. And all so Derby Phantoms well ahead with 9.
Been having a great time, Derby Phantoms too. Honestly, they've been having a great time.
So loud, like in a good way, like just loving life. Then ourselves and Leamington Spartans 2 on 6, and then Leeds and Norwich on 4. So it is Hartlepool sort of out in the cold at the minute. But we've got to hope that set difference doesn't come back to bite us in the arse anytime soon. But I think if we keep edging these wins, no one's going to ask any questions. And it's just a 2... Has everyone got a 2-meet league this time round?
Not always. Some teams play 3, some teams play 2, I believe. So Leeds are playing 3 times, for instance. So they might have... Yeah, they might end up having points on the board. Yeah, which is always a bit of an interesting one. Spartans 2 also play 3 fixtures. We've only got the two.
If you go back to the table then... And I can never get this right. And somehow we've all played 5.
Thanks, yes, because in this league, each team plays each other 3 times.
So by the time we've begun the second third.
Correct.
We're just beginning the second third. Right, yeah.
Yes, so if we look at it, this league in two sets of fixtures time...
They'll be on 10.
Then everyone will be on 10. But for after the third set of fixtures, then... Yeah. Some teams will have played 8 and some will have played 7, and that will probably
put a cat amongst the pigeons. Makes it very difficult to predict. I don't like all this math.
It's also quite a close league, which also doesn't help.
That's what I aim for.
Just let it unfold.
The math. Yes.
It takes care of itself.
Thought it was the pennies. That's pounds, isn't it? They got the pennies, pounds.
Yeah. I'm quite poor, it's fine.
Yeah,
you're a civil servant.
I'll repeat the statement if you'd like.
For the Tories.
Technically, when this makes it better or worse, technically my boss is the Royals. My boss is the Royals, not...
I thought you were going to say the British people.
Kate? Where is she?
She didn't pay a tax bill. She comes out when the tax bill is paid, allegedly.
Ah, Jimmy Carr.
Yeah, I'll let you decide if it's better to work for the Royals or the government as your ultimate boss. Because we're Her Majesty's.
At least the Royals show up sometimes.
Mm. Yeah.
Some of them.
The Royals do have a couple of decent people, though, really, don't they? We've got Anne.
Anne does seem nice.
That's about it.
My mum's met her.
I've met her, too.
Mm. Yeah.
Delightful woman.
What did you and Anne talk about?
I was at school at the time, so GCSE English. Of mice and men! I'm not even kidding either.
Jesus Christ.
Still never read that. Is that the one about the depression?
It's very depressing, yes.
Not in the sense you've meant, but...
It's set in...
Am I thinking of the Grapes
of
Wrath?
You're Great Gatsby.
No, I'm not.
That is set in depression.
By the way.
I suppose it is, but it's very much the focus on the Roaring Twenties element rather than the depression bit, or at least the film is. She said sound like a really well-read person. I have read books.
Of Mice and Men is Lenny, isn't it?
George and Lenny.
George and Lenny. I like the rabbits. Where's the rabbits, George?
That's Rainbow, but St. Hook.
We're struggling to stay on topic, I feel.
Talking of the Great Depression.
don't at me.
That might be the best segue.
That was some real low-hanging fruit I had to take.
Oh, God. Look at the bottom. It's such a... Well, the whole thing's a shit show.
Yes.
Actually, to be fair, the mid-table is a lot less messy than sometimes.
Like, mixed table's been updated.
Where are we?
We are sixth. Only 1 point behind fifth. We are comfortably out of relegation zone.
That's all Derby that matters.
And Derby Phantoms 2 are both on 20 points.
Phantoms Who's got better 2, set difference?
Phantoms 1, but only by 24. I say that.
It's just the casual entire game.
I honestly thought that would be closer.
But
because not being funny, Derby 2s have put a decent score on us twice.
It would be fantastic.
If we're going to start talking about Women's
League...
We'll
see if you keep that in the recording. Yeah.
Women's League Super.
Women's League Super. I want to shout out Bedford Rangers, currently sitting in
100%,
fourth.
Yeah.
Like, what an absolute stormer those ladies are having.
So it's the Rangers.
Storm.
Too late for this show.
Again, I've watched... This is the most I've watched this league... In terms of all the teams, obviously, I've always watched this league with one eye on what the Sheriff ladies are doing. Leathers in the box. I know. Nice, aren't I?
Keeping an eye out for Celine.
Now, I've actually been able to ref, like, the cuts, so I'm getting to see everyone.
Yeah.
And more, and I've ref Rangers quite a few times. Mm. They're playing really well. Like, the composure on show from them and, like, some of the... when because they beat Storm, I believe it was.
Storm 2s.
Oh, my God. Storm 2s are our second match. That's absolutely
No, they've already played Storm... Did they play Storm 1s?
No, they're playing this time around.
Is it this time around? Who was it I was watching Rain? Maybe it might have been White Tigers then, potentially.
They definitely beat White Tigers in the first set of fixtures.
Yeah, it was someone who's kind of in that mid-range table with them. But the way they just kind of got up in sets and just played it out so well. Lisa's playing so well for them. You know, not taking the catches that she normally takes because people simply aren't throwing at her. So the ratio is just always going to be lower. But the way she's controlling it from that wing is super impressive. And it's just really good. Like, it doesn't sound like a compliment, but it's really functional dodgeball. And sometimes you just need
doing the basics
that,
right, gets you a long way. Ultimately.
Good fun and Reynolds. So that's what you need, isn't it? Sometimes. But yeah.
The top of the table taking some definition with Derby playing against both Spartans and Bedford Eagles next time out. I think it's going to be some eagerly awaited fixtures.
Eagerly awaited. Eagerly awaited. So he did that.
Bedford mighty eagerly awaited.
Who are the other games?
Bedford Eagles against White Tigers, I think, is going to be
a
good affair.
With all those retired players, I would like to point out, White Tigers are a real handful. I think, to be honest, I think it's ourselves and Queens who'd have to say, look, like we're the least well equipped for this league. I think Storm 2. Haven't actually played yet and I haven't been able to watch so many of their matches. And there's been a lot of switcheroo from previous year's Storms 1s versus Storm 2s to this year's Storms 1s versus Storm 2s, which I think is probably a really positive thing because it shows they're thinking outside the box, actually looking at who's really playing up. As I said, Mush has gone up from the 1s to the 2s. From the
2s to the 1s.
Yeah, that way. This year, borderline unplayable. Worst experience of my life, winging against her. I was having a terrible, terrible time. Like, and it's good. It's really, that's what you want to see. The players that are making a real impact, getting rewarded, getting those first team spots.
Storm 2, again,
look pretty solid.
Yeah. And there's some very experienced players in there now. Yes. Because there's been some moving around.
I ref the Storm Derby. It was pretty close. It was really, I think in score it was fairly close as well, if I remember.
I think correctly. It might have been 39 from memory. Can't remember where it was.
Maybe it was one of the first set of fixtures. Yeah, 13-9 it was. And the sets were incredibly close, like quite a lot of them. Like, you know when it's 13-9 that you're pretty much playing most sets to time as well.
Yeah.
And that was accurate. A lot of sets were won and lost in the last 20 seconds. That result and score could have easily been flipped the other way. And someone who's watched it, you would have gone, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, a draw would have also been fair. So it's quite interesting on that front. So, and then Wessex are the other ones who have come up and absolutely just gone out the blocks really well.
A draw already under their belt.
So yeah, Wessex playing Storm next time, I think it's a
both
pretty
and White Tigers.
It's a pretty fascinating meet for Wessex as well, because they could really chuck themselves into that like fourth and fifth conversation for like final standings if they get a good result here. So it's quite interesting. Yeah, Rangers Storm, I'm really interested to watch. To be fair, that's a fascinating one. Again, it feels like for both Super Leagues, this is a really defining meet for the season. At both ends of the table,
Storm 2 might be able to distance themselves or find themselves definitely in the relegation fight with some of their fixtures if they get results out of either us or Wessex.
I think
they'll definitely look at those as winnable fixtures, but they need to win them to distance themselves from the bottom two. I don't think there was much necessary to write home about the last set of fixtures.
Then Derby beating Rangers 24-0 was big. That court on the left, that was the court I was doing. So I reffed all those games that day.
I think that's probably the first nil we've had as well.
Probably in
first one.
Yeah.
First one I've had in two meets reffing as well. But those games were fascinating. Yeah, White Tigers beating Storm, that was another. The catching on display from White Tigers in that game was superb. And I think one thing it did maybe show a little bit was they did a real good number on Tara in that game. They seemed to have a game plan for her, because obviously we all know how good Tara can be when she's on it.
Yeah.
And she got out early in quite a few sets in the first half. And then Storm, because I don't think Mush was there. She wasn't playing that week for whatever reason. So they didn't have a huge amount of out-and-out power in the throws at that point. And obviously when you're throwing at Meg, Lauren, Alex, if you get those even a little bit wrong and you've not got a lot of power to try and bail you out, that's a tough sell. And obviously then people like Summer and White Tigers are very agile and throw themselves around. So they're a tough team to hit at the best of times when you've got your full set of arms. So that was a really interesting game because, like I said, White Tigers clearly had a plan. And it definitely worked. So
I think with the first set of fixtures for White Tigers very much being, they didn't seem like their usual selves. I think they'll be able to, propel themselves a bit higher up the table if they do get results out of Wessex and Storm 2. I think they're currently only sat seventh, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if they're pushing top half after this one. But then again, I don't think Wessex will give them any quarter and enable Storm 2.
That'd be a really good game. I find it's fascinating. This three-game format now, it's fascinating because first game, it's the same as it was any time. You can definitely start slowly because you're still not properly game-worn. You can throw for a bit and whatever, but it's not quite the same. And by game three, people are running out of steam.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating that when the certain fixtures fall. So them having Wessex first will be interesting to see which one team gets the eye in faster, effectively. And then White Tigers have Eagles at 6:30. And where's their other game? And London Storm 2. So interesting that they'll play Beagles last and Storm 2. Probably the way around they want it. Because they can hopefully then they'll back themselves to beat Wessex and Storm 2. I think they'd consider themselves favourites. And then they can go, hopefully take that momentum into that Bedford game. And then who knows? Because obviously Bedford, traditionally haven't got the best record against Alex and Lauren especially. So it'll be quite interesting to see, because Bedford are playing pretty well this year.
And I don't think I envy Derby's set of fixtures for that reason, with playing Spartans at the Spartans first off and then Eagles last. I think that's probably like we could see them taking their foot off the pedal in the middle game against Queens, but whether like it'd be you'd need to have quite sort of good mental discipline to not be looking ahead for the second game already at that point.
Yeah, because Queens have taken sets off everyone so far, and also they played I think it was Bedford Eagles first game. And I'm pretty sure they went like either 4-0 or 4-2 up. Or they took an early lead and then they nearly won the other set and it turned around in the last like little bit. And so they were close to being 2-3 sets up in the first half against Bedford. And then, you know, Bedford will argue that they probably weren't playing at the best, but Queen Bee's the team that they can take. We all know they can catch.
Yeah.
And things like that. So, yeah, you've got to be fully at it. You can't let your mind think this is the write-off. We'll win this. On to the next one. So we'll see. But Derby are pretty good in terms of like their fitness and athleticism. So they've definitely got the, you'd say, the stamina for three games.
Deal with it.
Yeah, and I think Spartans, we really, really wanted to chase them down over the course of the meet as well. But I think they've got, I mean, they've got us. I'd love to say we'll give them a real fight at 7:15, but it will very much depend, I think, on how our Storm 2's game has gone a couple of meets, things before. But it is, I think, similar to what you're saying about chasing meteors. Spartans are now having to look for where Derby are going to make mistakes rather than just focusing on their own considerable ability. So that's going to be really hard for them to deal with. In a similar vein to Rangers, Wessex as well come out really, really strong. It is right to say they've just been re-promoted.
Yeah. Wessex, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I think
they're on White Tigers.
Didn't they win promotion like the last day or something as well?
Leeds could have gone up instead.
Leeds could have gone up. And I think they've...
How the terms well have tabled.
Yeah, exactly. Well and truly proven they deserve to be in this league. I think we've been chatting about it, obviously, off mic, because we don't just talk once every 3 months.
Sometimes I wish we did.
Sam's saying, I think this is probably the strongest combination of teams that could be in Women's Super League. So it is absolutely brutal at the moment.
Yeah, I think Derby 2 is probably the only plausible exception to that. Or maybe Coventry.
Yeah,
I think we're probably the Coventry. But even then, like I think put them against the bottom teams of Super League, I'm not sure it would be a foregone conclusion, certainly.
Yeah. So obviously we hope, and I'm sure I know Bees do as well, chatting to Eve at Foam. We really hope are sort of like seasoned teams in that league, although we've both got a lot of new players, which I think is partially why we're struggling a little bit with the quality. That the league brings. We're hoping to get back up, get our elbows out and crawl our way into the middle of that league. But whoever goes down this season, I think it won't be without a massive fight. And even if you don't see that on the scores, hopefully you'll see it on the court because there have been some really, really engaging games.
100%. This league continues to be bonkers.
Absolute
bonkers. I really
that should be the opening jingle.